We can hear you in there. We don't see you in here, but we can hear you. He said, hit it.
Yeah.
Good morning, Bay Harbor family. Welcome to Monday Morning Recap with Pastors. It is great to be here with Pastor John and Pastor Jermaine on this Monday morning. And Pastor, I see outside that God is still allowing us to serve the community. We've got people coming through this morning getting a little bit of food. And I don't know why I said that, but it just caught my eye. Yeah, so here we are.
You know, it's sad that there's a need, but it's grateful that we're grateful that we can help with that. And we have a live studio audience this morning.
Yep.
And so we're grateful for that.
Let me hear y'all cheer.
Glad you are with us online. And it is a beautiful day.
It is.
Not just because of the weather outside, but because we know that God is on the throne.
Absolutely. And we had a great time yesterday. I hope you took care of your mother. Moms, if they did not take care of you, let us know. We will get on to them and do what we need to do for that. But we do hope you did love on your mom. And
I know you got some announcements you got to make, but I got to share this with you. I received a message this morning that, I started the message out yesterday with a thing about the mom that was washing dishes after the Mother's Day dinner, and the teenage daughter comes in and said, "Mom, you shouldn't be doing that." And mom felt so good until the teenager added, "They'll keep till tomorrow." Well, there was a section that laughed, and they sent me a Facebook memory that a few years ago that the mom said that she was in there washing dishes, and she said the husband came in, and it was like, "Well, hopefully he'll see that I'm in here washing dishes." And he said the exact same thing. He said, "Don't worry about those dishes today. They'll be there tomorrow." So yes, it's true to life. So moms do so much every day of the year. And so what a great time to be able to celebrate them and honor them.
So on that, if you are a mother who had to wash dishes yesterday, let us know. Tell us if you washed dishes yesterday. And we will be sure to, I don't know what we're going to do. But anyways, yeah, we do have a few quick announcements, Pastor. Man, wow, so much going on. The calendar is full. And just start with this coming Sunday, May.
Already.
May the 16th, we're going to be something we've been anticipating for years, Pastor. We've been praying about this, just waiting on the Lord for the right time. And May the 16th, we'll be launching some small groups. We've had a couple go here and there that's already been established. It's going really well. And been using them as kind of a training session for it. And not guinea pig, we won't call, but we do have six or eight or so, I think, confirmed
that we'll be signing up for, to allow the church the opportunity, the Bay Harbor community, to be able to sign up for an in-person small group. And I tell you where we are. We have as many host locations, and we actually are going to need some more leaders to facilitate the conversation. My parents are one that are interested in hosting one, and just great, just a wonderful opportunity. They'll be running for June and July. They'll start for June and then go into July, just an 8-week stretch on that, and then we're going to be relaunching again in September, so be looking for that.
And don't let the term small group scare you away. I'm going to be honest, when we first started talking about it, I'm saying years ago, 4 or 5 years it's been in the conversation here at Bay Harbor, knowing we need to do something, just waiting on God for the right time. And don't let it scare you about, it's not a separate church. No, it's not that. It is a place you can get together and fellowship with believers and learn, dig deeper in the Word, and just have community. Have community. So that'll be launching. And what that looks like, we don't know 100% yet. Just be looking for Sunday morning at the end of both services. It'll be out front somewhere, and you'll be able to see what those classes are and sign up on those. If we see there's a big need, and we can... Not a big need. Yeah. There is a big need. A big desire for the summer quarter. Yep. We'll put some more in. What yep. do we
Absolutely.
Have to do? For sure.
Absolutely.
So and next is it graduates. If I've got 11 signed up now, high school graduates.
Wow.
11. Wow. So if you know a high school graduate that's part of Bay Harbor family, and make sure we do not look them over. Get with the church office, 912-262-1227. Call us. So
and
we
that'll
get them
be
on the list.
The celebration for that will be the following week yes. at the 11 o'clock service. And so we're looking forward to that. And that'll be during the 11 o'clock
yes.
service. And so and that's not even to considering the college graduates.
I know.
And so there's just so much that's going on. And so we're grateful for what God is up to for sure.
Can you at least that's one of your larger groups, right?
We've had some that size in the past. But yes, it is definitely. Now we've got, can you believe school's almost over? Can you believe it?
Wow. First of all, that we made it through school this year.
Yes, praise the Lord.
And I know we got to get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we do.
But yeah, we're grateful for the school year and all that, and it's coming to an end. And hopefully now you're joined in with us, and you're sharing this, and you're adding your comments about not just about the dishes, but maybe about the message from yesterday, and as we get closer into this.
One last thing, Pastor, use this time. At camps, guys, is going on in Tifton, so that's our primary camp all the way through our high school camp. If you are interested in going to camp, they sign up online. If you need more information, get with me, get with the church office. We'll show you how to sign up. So excited about, I think last I checked, we were close to about 30 already registered for camp. So yeah, it's a good deal. All right, so yesterday, what an incredible time hearing God. We've said this before, but if you are still just online, you miss a lot at the end of the services as far as when it comes to worship and the altar call and stuff, because pastor comes back on and preaches. No, he doesn't do it this way. No, he comes up and just has an altar call, and God moves. Man, yesterday as I'm just watching, you know, I pop in and out throughout, have to check different things, and the presence of the Lord was just, especially 9 o'clock service, the presence of the Lord was just, it was here yesterday. He was here yesterday morning, moving in our midst and just breaking chains and bondages. And
yeah, that's because people are coming expecting.
Yes.
We're searching and in need of the freedom, really, that can only come.
Mm-hmm.
It's only available through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we're going to find it.
So, you just jump in? Y'all ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
We don't segue. We're just going to go into it.
Just go for it.
Yesterday's sermon titled, Women of Faith in Spite of It All. And you spoke about Miriam, the mother of a movement. And you really got into some of Miriam's history that I've never really studied myself, Pastor. Kind of real quick, hit on like Miriam's, where she come from and that kind of stuff, just quick like.
Yeah, raised in a godly home. Her family was Levi's. Her dad was Levi's. She came from that lineage, so she had that, even while they were in bondage and all of that. And we see through Scripture, and let me just tell you this, that that sermon, Pastor Jermaine knows, was a little bit different when it started. And we may come back to Miriam again this week because we didn't even get half of what it is. But we see that she was a leader. We know that she was a leader. And Jewish writings tells a little bit more that her responsibility was to lead the women's ministry, so to speak. She was responsible for the leadership and the teaching of that. She was a prophetess. She's one of the 7 major women prophets in the Bible. And so wonderful, wonderful woman of faith that we see in her life. And so that's just a quick background on her. But it's really powerful when you begin to look and understand the context that she was living in. So for her to have that prominent role, and again, I emphasize it, had to be careful, because yesterday I started to say that this is a subject that's dear to my heart. Women is a subject that's dear to my heart, so I had to specify women in the Bible, because, you know, oftentimes that is a group, so to speak, that could be pushed to the fringes of society. Especially in a male-dominated world that the Bible was in and some of the traces that we have. But for her to be front and center is really, really powerful. And so that's why I like studying it. That's why I like getting into it, because it speaks a lot about where we are. And that's exactly what happened yesterday with her.
I was looking at that as well, too, just the fact of the influence that she had in that community and even among Moses. You know, it wasn't just so much on the women, but though she was, like you said, kind of, she was the leadership for women, but within her sibling circle, she had some influence. She had a little bit of pull there as well, too. And but how vocal she was, you know, vocal and I think opinionated, and I'm going to stop right there. but with that aspect, but when it came down to, man, I'm going to save that because that's I don't want to jump ahead. But just being thankful, being grateful.
Go for it. Go ahead and finish.
No,
it.
Just praising God.
Yeah, and I like this about Scripture because if you read it and you can read into it without adding anything, we see a strong personality.
Mm, yes, you do.
We see that mm-hmm. personality profile of a Miriam mm-hmm. that the Scripture really allows us to be part of. And it's not adding anything. It's just getting to the heart of it. And it's we get to see her in that. And so, and we can relate to her for a lot of different levels. It's good.
So point one, she had freedom. She was free, right? So, I'm just looking at your notes here, Pastor. So, explain how Miriam was free. What caused her in her life to be free? She wasn't free. They were in bondage.
No, they were completely in bondage. Yeah. And the correlation between what she was going through and what we're facing today is very prevalent throughout this narrative. And I think that we can't underscore that enough. There was social and racial oppression that they and bondage that they were really in. We hear it when she mentioned it. You want me to get one of these Hebrew women to raise this child for you? And so you know that part was there. They were shunned from the very beginning. Even when Joseph was there, they were pushed aside to Goshen because of their people. They didn't want to eat with them. So they understand a lot of what's happening today. Then there was the fact, and I didn't want to hit it too hard yesterday, but the killing of innocent babies is very familiar to abortion and different things that are happening today. Spiritually speaking, there was a plethora of gods that they worshiped. They worshiped people. They, you know, all of those things tied in to where Miriam's context was. And the freedom that they were crying for, they were longing for freedom within their own lives. And they knew that God would be the one that would get it. It wasn't happening any other way except for God. There was no way they could get free themselves from the bondage that they were in. The only way that freedom could come was through God.
I just come across this in the notes. Yet in spite of what was occurring in and around Miriam's life, and we can change this to our life, God was at work and God is at work. So he is still at work no matter what. You just mentioned we're going through a bunch of stuff, but he is still at work right here in the midst of it.
It's tough to see it sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it was important in Miriam's life, that the especially the truth that she freed to live, was the fact that she was observant. A person that is in tune with the moving of the Holy Spirit is a person who will see life from a different perspective. You'll begin to see things differently if you lock in to not just what's going on around you. She knew what was going on around her, but she also knew what was happening directly in front of her. Yeah. And so here it was, and you know, you can listen to the sermon to talk about the Jewish tradition of her possibly prophesying that this would happen, all of that. But I think it's important to note that she was locked in on what God was doing before her. And because she could see things, because she saw Pharaoh's daughter come, because she saw, watched her response to that and what she did and her reaction to that, I think that she saw God in the middle of it. I don't know how long she was standing there waiting. It could have been for a while.
We got to move on. No, we don't. We're good. So, why Moses? Why all these other boys were getting, we know Pharaoh was having them killed. He didn't want him to live. Why all of a sudden Moses' mama decides, "Hey, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna put him in this little boat. I'm gonna pitch it with tar. We know the story, and we're gonna sell it out." Why Moses? And then I was thinking about this yesterday too when you were preaching. Do you think maybe they knew that they had to know it was a bathing hole for Pharaoh's daughter, right? They probably knew that at some point. And knowing women, back on Mother's Day, knowing the heart most women have for they can't say no to a Kuin Khan baby, that they maybe by some chance they knew that when she would see the baby, she'd be like, oh, we got to take this baby. Because they had to know what Pharaoh had to say to do to the Hebrew children, right?
They did know because then 3 months old, they could no longer hide him.
Yeah.
But the scripture also.
But even Pharaoh's daughter knew.
But they didn't know Moses. And two thoughts to that.
Yeah.
And I like getting off with this. Two thoughts is that they knew something was special about Moses. Now, every mother's going to say that. You look at those newborn babies, and they talk about this is the most beautiful baby in the world. And sometimes I'm thinking this child ain't all that pretty. And but you know, for you, babies can be ugly. That's all I'm saying. So, but to the mother that's holding them, it's the most precious thing because you look beyond that. And I'm gonna get some comments on that one. I know Jermaine just let me walk right into it. My bad. But. I struggle with it. We talked about that in one of the altar services yesterday. The fact that, wait a minute, Moses made it. What about all the others that were literally thrown into the river? And I just don't even like talking about that. Yeah. But what about all the other ones? I can't give you an answer for all the other ones. I don't know what was going on. All I know is what was right there in front of us. And I think that's part of our focus with this is what is God doing in the circumstances. But there was something special about it. Go ahead, Jermaine.
No, I was going to say, but that fast forward to the day, when we look at some of the situations that we find ourselves in, we look at how blessed we are, and we ask the question, why me? You know, out of everybody and out of all the things that I done in life, what did I do to deserve this? If you're really real with yourself, at some point in time, you ask yourself, and all it takes is just you sitting down for less than a minute and thinking about everything that God has actually either brought you out of or he's actually done for you or the places that you look and you find yourself and you look around and like, man, how did I get here? What did I do to get here? You know, in the midst of everybody, a lot of people that were probably smarter than I was, that were more obedient to their parents than I was,
but
you know?
You just said a word. But did it come down to the obedience of them putting him in that boat, bottom line? If they hadn't have done it, would it have been another Moses come up?
Yes, which leads us down a trail.
I know. I told you it could go down rabbit trail.
But still, though, Pastor Bobby, I look back at the fact that she didn't love her child any more than any other mother did. Mm-hmm. Some of these questions, as much as we want answers for,
don't have them.
We will not have them. But the trust in God, even when I don't tell you why, it goes back to that. And so this, I hope people saw the tie-in with the sovereignty of God.
This series goes
right back into the previous series that we had. And I think all of it is important. But what I do want us to see is the perspective of what God is doing. Miriam was locked in, and she was a little girl. She was locked in on what was in front of her. And for us, that's the same place we've got to be. Even if we don't understand it, how can we see God working in all of that?
You got one? No, so freedom to live. They wanted freedom. They wanted freedom to be free, set free from the bondage they were in. But your title, your next point is freedom to live. So not just... You can be free from drugs and addictions and still not live.
Yep. But it was Miriam's obedience, her movement. And I, again, that's what I want us to see is God's wanting to birth something through all of us. He's wanting to do something in our families. He's wanting to do something in our lives. And he's birthing something in us even right now. And there's a movement that's taking place. And because she moved, life happened. What would have happened, again, the hypotheticals, if it wasn't Pharaoh's daughter who found? What if it was a soldier? What if it was part of the army? What if it was, you know, what would have happened? We don't know any of those because we don't have to. We know what happened with Moses.
But we know God worked.
And so in that, because she was obedient, life took place. It spared Moses' life. And in that moment, she helped give birth to a movement. And she had to wait. I go back and I think about it. You know, you know a mom's not going to give her starving child and put him in there. that last act of compassion and as intimate as nursing a child is, she's going to share that for the last time to make sure he's full. So how long did she have to sit there waiting for something to happen? But when it did happen, she knew it was time to move. At some point in our spiritual journey, we can't sit back and continue to watch. We're going to have to move. Action is required. Observing is good, but action will be required. And I feel that there's some people that are at that place. I know that I could have freedom from this. I know that God is speaking to me about this. I see the injustice that's happening in our community. I see the mental illnesses that are striking. I see families being broken. You observe it, but at what point is God speaking to you to be the one to do something about it? At what point do you become the Miriam that's going to stand up and say, hey, should I go find a Hebrew woman to come nurse this child for you? That is the power of the freedom that God wants to work. And it's, we're part of the process. He does it, but he wants to use us. And why he does, I don't know.
Now that, and I think about that, and it's, you think about Peter stepping out the boat, and he had Jesus on the water, knowing that if Jesus called him out on the boat, I'm out of the boat, that, you know, Jesus is standing on the water, so it's more than possible that I would be standing on the water. But what Miriam did as a child to speak up and knowing her place in society, not knowing the outcome of her actually speaking up, she could have actually watched her brother be killed and then herself be killed. But that took some courage. So when you talk about even people knowing it at a certain point, you have to step out. That takes some courage. It really does. But, you know, the fear cannot out, it cannot outweigh, you know, the possibilities what on the other end. Because like you said, somebody's life was spared. Somebody's life was changed. A whole nation was actually let go, freed because of this. You just never know what you're starting.
And you don't know why God did it that way, but he did it that way. And he does the same thing for what we don't know. What if we have the faith to say, you know, we're going to see an end to racial segregation on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. We're putting an end to it right now. Who knows if God wouldn't use us to launch a movement? What about to the family that says, you know what, I am sick and tired of drugs and alcohol destroying our family line, and we're putting an end to it, and we're stepping up and speaking against it right now. Who knows if we won't literally save generations to come? We observe the problems, but there's times we have to step out and do something about it.
Wow. Wow. So where are you at? Where are you at? What is God calling you to be obedient to? Wow. But let's jump ahead 13 chapters. we covered a half book of Exodus yesterday. So then the story goes on, and you wonder what happened. I mean, you read the stories of Moses, and just imagine Moses growing up in Pharaoh's court and learning all that stuff, but knowing he's different all the way up through. Something happens, and then praise hits. So let's talk about praise.
Yeah, there's freedom to praise. There's freedom that we get. There's freedom to live. There's freedom in praise. Praise is liberating. Yeah. Now, if you do the math, we know that Moses spent 40 years and then another 40 years before he led the children of Israel out. So most likely, Miriam would have been in her mid-80s at this point. And so, and at a different time, you know, all that, not like 80s today, but either way, she well advanced in her life. And again, Scripture does not tell us clearly that she was a mother herself. Jewish tradition says that she was, but we don't really see it in Scripture because it's not the focal point. And I wanted that point to be made because children aren't the only, it's not all that we give birth to. And that ties in with what God's wanting to do in your life. And also speaks to those who, like on Mother's Day, don't have children. And so it doesn't keep us out of the work that God wants us to do. But anyway, with all of that, praise is a huge part of what was happening. And again, she's not one that sat back and waited for something else to happen. She knew that she had a voice. She knew that God had called her to do something. And that's why I like bouncing this off of each other, because we learn from each other. But the fact that she stepped right on out. Moses got finished with his song, and she kicked it up a notch. She brought what I saw three components of her praise. That was her mouth. There was with the praise that she verbalized with her hands, the instruments that she used, and with her feet that she danced. And there's the movement.
I saw this online here. And thank you again for your participation and joining the conversation. Ms. Wanda, we see you, those who've actually been commenting, Ms. Gloria Mosley. But Mary Kersey, she said this. She said in hearing yesterday's sermon, you know, talking about freedom comes in a movement. And I guess it was confirmed in another sermon that she heard yesterday evening. But she also said this, it's time to move into the freedom that only God can provide. Praise your way to it and through it.
Very powerful.
So to it and through it. So Miriam grabbed an instrument. Okay, what was your elements? Come on, keep going to your elements. I was listening. All right. So it's for, go ahead.
It's really her entire being.
Yeah.
When you think about it, from
everything.
Head
yep.
to toe, from her mouth that she's verbalizing, to her instruments, her hands that she's doing, and then to her feet. Get the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I got to give a shout-out to Mary. Walter, I don't know what you're talking about with that 1980s rap song about shackles, but Mary, get the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise him. It's one thing to recognize what God has done, but it's another to respond in praise to it. The enemy recognizes what God is doing in our lives. That is why it's essential for us to make sure that praise is the proper response. And when we do that, it keeps the primary focus in perspective for us, but it also releases freedom. Freedom is released when we continue to praise God for what he's done. Theologically, I can't tell you that there's much backing with this that I know of, but I know through experience, and I see it throughout Scripture. But praise props the door of freedom open.
Wait, say it again.
Praise props the door of freedom open. Okay. The door of freedom is opened up to us through Jesus Christ. Praise keeps it open. And I know that sounds so strange.
No, I like it.
But when we begin to allow complaining, belly aching, griping, negativity to come into our life, then what we end up doing is it shuts the freedom off to us. And we will see that in their story. But she let out a praise. And the other thing with this is that praise propelled them forward, because it would not be long that they would be complaining about the water.
A couple verses.
And so with that praise, sometimes that praise is not, it's for God always, but it's for us in the moment. But then it also helps us for down the road.
Yeah. Each one of those things that you just said, for us complaining and murmuring, I'm hearing just bolts just locking on the door, each one. Because I think that, it's in our mouths, it's in our attitudes, just our accessibility to God's blessings. And you said something yesterday, and there's a thin line, I think, because I've been there. Between insecurity and somebody being reserved when it comes down to praise. And I think sometimes that we can find ourselves on either one of those, but neither one of those is enough to not have sometimes, like even David said, I become even more undignified than this if it means that I got to let this praise out. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's something that I work on. We know what I do here, but I still work on that every day. I will not let just my demeanor, my natural personality and everything, you know, thwart what I think and what I know God is requiring from me when it comes down to praising and being demonstrative with it, you know, whether it's with the lifting of my hands, movement of my feet, being vocal. You got to break out of it some kind of way, you know, as opposed to hiding in who you are. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you got to actually step outside of yourself, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said that, because my personality is not that way. I am reserved, and I know that that sounds strange to be someone that stands in front of crowds. And so there was a breaking. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that if we're not demonstrative in our worship, that we're not grateful for what God has done. But what it does mean is that there's freedom that comes when we move beyond ourselves. Some people can shout across the front of this church and not necessarily have any spirituality to go behind it.
That's true, too.
Because that's just part of that. Hey, I'm uninhibited when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. Others, you know, it's an act of God. So it's your response to the praise that matters. It's not somebody else's. Mm-hmm. It's your response. How do you respond to it?
I know we're past time, but Pastor, I think about your life and when I go places with you and hear about your stories and stuff and how you're always giving God praise because it's and not saying it's only when good things happen. So don't take that what I'm about to say that way. But me and my wife and Garrett, we had an opportunity this past Friday night. We just went on down to Jacksonville. Grandma was having a Mother's Day thing, so we went on down. We got a hotel room, hung out, goofed off. But it's the small things that you recognize that God has blessed you with. Not that saying it's the only time you need to praise God. You praise God through it all. But, you know, we just testimony. We go through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. There's this bus, two buses or two vans coming up with youth. And, you know, the lady's kind of like, talking about. I said, don't talk about them students. I'm a youth pastor myself. So I just got to talk, messing with her. They gave us our food. You know, thank you for what you do for you. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
Then we get to the hotel room. And, man, this hotel room was bigger than my house almost. Man, it was like. No lie, a 900-square-foot hotel room. It was humongous. So we walk in, and Garrett's like, Daddy, where'd this go? I ain't asked for this, but praise the Lord. We're going to give God praise for it. So it's stuff like that. And I hear you say the same thing. You know, God opened up the traffic lights. And you just small things that we need to make sure we're praising God for our daily life. Does that mean when things aren't right, we still don't give God? No, absolutely not. But being observant to what God has done in you, I mean, you know, that's favor. Does that mean because you don't have that favor, you don't have God's? No, not a bit. But when things happen, praise Him through it, praise Him in it. Mm-hmm. Closes out, Pastor. I don't mess this all up.
This is wonderful, Pastor Jermaine. Do you have any last comments or anything with that? And then I'm gonna knock it out.
No, it's so much more to say.
It is.
We could go another 30 minutes.
We'll be here next Monday. We'll be here right here.
We don't know what's gonna happen.
Line up may change, but trust me, it'll be.
And this is a short note one. You had short notes this week, and we're still talking. So yeah, you know it's good stuff.
It don't take much to feed this one.
That's because we cut the notes in half
on purpose.
There's a part two.
Last minute. And so it is. Look at there. With that, don't allow anyone to sit on your praise.
Amen.
You praise God for what He is, and continue to experience the freedom that comes. It's something that happens, and I've heard it more than once about people here lately that have been blessing others. They've been hurt, and they've been blessing others anyway. See, even when you do that, it gets it off of you, and it opens up freedom in your life. The amount that you value the freedom that Jesus Christ has given you will be reflected in your life. And so there's a lot that's with us. We're grateful that you've joined us today. And if you're watching, we're believing that God will continue to give freedom to you and that part of that freedom will be what it is that He's speaking, that purpose that He has in your life. And so we want to speak a blessing over you. Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You how alive it has become to us and how real that it is. And Father, it's not just recapping, but it's just the residuals of Your presence that we feel even now. And we just speak freedom through Jesus Christ over everyone that's watching today, and we speak peace to them, and we pray, God, that You will just do something even right now, wherever they are, that there will just be a praise that will just come forth for them for Your goodness and who You are. Thank You for the freedom that You've given us. And Father, we who were destined to die are free to live because of the sacrifice that You have made, and may that continually be on our lips. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We love you, Bay Harbor. Talk to you soon. We'll look forward to Wednesday night. It's going to be a little bit different this Wednesday night as part of our 30-minute meal. It's going to be different, so make sure that you tune in on that, and we'll see you in person and online on Sunday. God bless you.